We are going to be in Hebrews 11, so you can turn there. We'll be starting in verse 8. And as you're doing that, let me pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you have given us this morning to gather in this way, to know you more, to love you more. I pray specifically that you would draw our hearts closer to you this morning. Would you help us to trust you more? Would you grow our faith, stir our souls to trust you in all things, like we see from Abraham, as we'll see this morning. It's in the name of your Son, by the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Church, this is Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8. This is the holy and authoritative word of God, sufficient for all things. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. We're in the beginning of an extended look at Hebrews 11, where the author of the book is taking a deep dive into what biblical faith is and looks like. They're doing this by giving us specific examples of some of the most faithful characters in the Bible. Today, we come to the example of Abraham. Many people will argue that next to Jesus, Abraham is the most important person in the Bible, including Greg. There's certainly an argument for this here, as we have a good amount of Abraham's life recorded for us as an example of what faithfulness to God really looks like. And so we have a lot to learn from his example. Now, before we jump into the bulk of this, I want to run through a quick recap of what we've learned about biblical faith so far in this chapter. In verse 1, we see that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. In verse 2, we see that the people of old received their commendation from God by their faith. In verse 3, we see that it is only by faith that we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. And in verse 6, we see that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. As we look to the example of Abraham's faith, I'm not going to get into lots of history or much context with Abraham's story this morning, because we simply don't need to. What we need to focus on is how Abraham responds to God, what his faith looks like. And for that, we've got almost everything that we need here in these few verses. To see what Abraham's faith looks like and learn how we can imitate it, we're going to look at Abraham's responses of faith. There's only two mentioned here in these verses, so it's pretty straightforward. Then we'll look at the result of Abraham's faith. All along the way, considering how living with this type of faith should and must change and affect our lives today. So to start out, verse 8 gives us the context of Abraham's responses of faith. It says that he was responding to God's call for him to go out to a place that he would receive as an inheritance. This is referencing the story in Genesis 12. Now, this is the main piece of context that I believe is important for us as we seek to learn, understand, and apply our passage in Hebrews 11. So, in Genesis 12, 1-3, we read the following. Now, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is God calling Abraham and beginning to talk about what will become known as the Promised Land. So there's the framework for understanding how Abraham responds to God as we walk through our verses in Hebrews this morning. The call of Abraham mentioned here in Hebrews 11 is where God says to Abraham in Genesis, like we just saw, go from your country and your extended family and your home to the place that I will show you. What a call to get. Can you imagine? Abraham was 75 when he got this call from God. He'd spent that much of his life in one place, establishing his family and his home and his responsibilities and his relationships and his influence. And then all of a sudden, God says, I want you to go. Leave this place. Leave your extended family. Leave your home. Wow. Maybe you can relate. Now, there's normal times of transition in the average person's life, like before or during, maybe after college. Sometimes we have big transitions for a job change or a new opportunity. Sometimes there's big geographical and relational transitions when we get married. But all of those are usually things that we want to do or have planned to do. This was a very different case for Abraham. It was sudden and out of nowhere. It wasn't something that he planned for. How do you think you would respond to a call like that from God? This is really our question, and we want to answer it this morning. The answer to that question is our big idea, our guiding sentence this morning. Responding to God in faith means that we obey him and trust him in all things. Again, responding to God in faith means that we obey him and trust him in all things. To unpack what this really means and get a handle on how to live like this, we'll be looking at how Abraham responded to his call from God. We've got two responses to look at, and so we've got two main points. Our first point is the first response that we see in verse 8. Number one, by faith, he obeyed. Verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. This verse reminds me of all the times my mom called or yelled at me to go do something. I'm sure you've got lots of examples in your own life too, either as a child or as a parent. So many times I would respond as slowly as possible. Or I'd pretend like I didn't hear her. Or I'd run and hide, trying to get away from her. I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's a normal, sinful, selfish response to a call to do something we don't necessarily want to do for any given reason. But that's not how Abraham responds to God's call. We see here that he obeyed. And the words that are used in the Greek tell us that he obeyed as God was calling him. It was an immediate obedience. How often do you immediately obey God when it involves something you don't want to do? Or might be apparently in stark contrast to how you've been working or investing your time and resources. If you do obey, is it immediate? Or is it a process? Do you put it off for a while? Do you ignore it? Do you maybe pretend like you didn't hear it or feel God calling you to do something? Do you try to run away and hide from him? I certainly have. Church, faith in God means that we believe that he is who he says he is and that we desire to be close to him. If that's true, that God must be obeyed when he calls us to do something. And what we're seeing here in verse 8 is that the commended example of faith in Abraham involved immediate obedience to God's call. Now let's face it, obedience is not something that we always do well. We could talk all day about ways that you and I disobey. There's a part of us that loves to disobey. to push the envelope, to break the rules, to push back against some or all of the authority present in our lives. But what the author of Hebrews is saying to us this morning is that Abraham's example of immediate obedience is what faith looks like in the life of a believer. Can you imagine what your life would look like if you obeyed God more? What about if you obeyed Him more immediately? How would your life change? How would your home change? How would your work change? How would your family change? How would your reputation change? How would your influence change? Can you imagine what our neighborhoods, city, country, or world could look like if every follower of Jesus obeyed His call on their lives more readily and more immediately? Imagine the power that type of witness and example of the transforming power of Jesus would have on all the people around us. Speaking of, if you want or need another example of obedience to motivate and encourage you towards obeying God, look no further than Jesus Himself. I think we can tend to think of Jesus as living His own life according to His own plan. But we actually see throughout the Gospels that everything Jesus does, He does in obedience to the Father. God had called and sent Jesus to a specific task, and He willingly obeyed and submitted. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus saying, God, if there is any way for me not to do this, please take it from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Because obedience marks the life of our Savior and the lives of His faithful followers, it must also mark our lives if we claim to follow Jesus. We are able to obey because of our faith. If we believe that God exists, that He is who He says He is, and we want to draw close to Him, we must obey Him. The example of faith that we have here from Abraham is obedience. But look at the last part of verse 8. He receives his call, and his response is obedience, and he went out not knowing where he was going. As if everything we've unpacked about obedience already wasn't enough, we get this whopper. What we see here is that Abraham immediately obeyed God, even though he didn't know where he was going. Really? Really? God says, Abraham, I want you to leave this place. Leave your extended family, leave your home, and I'll show you where you're going. And Abraham responds by immediately obeying, even though he had no idea where he was going. What this means, church, is that in our ready, immediate obedience to God, we also must trust Him with the outcome. Whatever the plan is, whatever the purpose, whatever the destination, we must trust God. This type of faith is so hard for us to live out, isn't it? Don't you want to be in control of your own life? Don't you want to be in control of your direction and your ambitions? Don't you want to be in control of your plans and your timelines? Don't you want to see things unfold the way that you want them to? I sure do. But that's not what living a life of faith looks like. The life of faith looks like immediately obeying God, even when we don't know what the outcome will be. It means that we trust Him. It reminds me of that old hymn, "Trust and Obey." When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Church, what does faith in the life of the believer look like today? Remember what verse 1 tells us about faith. It is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. Trust and obey, friends. There truly is no other way. Like we said earlier, responding to God in faith means that we obey Him and trust Him in all things. So Abraham immediately obeys God and trusts Him with the outcome. And what next? I'm glad you asked. Verse 9 tells us, by faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. This brings us to our second point. By faith, he sojourned. Now, sojourned is just an old word for what verse 9 says about Abraham and his people lived while they were in the promised land. It means to stay somewhere temporarily, which is odd, isn't it? God called Abraham to go to this place that he promised he would inherit, and yet when he gets there, he lives, like verse 9 tells us, as in a foreign land, living in tents. Now, it would be understandable if this was how he lived until they established the settlement. Then it would be logical and make sense that they would start building and developing a permanent city. But that's not what happens. In fact, this verse reminds us that this is the way they lived for multiple generations. Even though the same promise of land and offspring was transferred by God to Abraham's son Isaac and then to his son Jacob, they all lived as foreigners and sojourners in the land. Before we answer the question of why they lived like this, there's incredible importance and application for us here in verse 9. The Bible is filled with examples of sojourning, of living temporarily in a place and wandering through a wilderness for a time. Abraham and his family, Isaac and his family, Jacob and his family, Moses and his family, the Israelites after the exodus from Egypt, Israel in exile after the fall or conquering of their city, John the Baptist, Jesus, etc. I'm sure you get the point. Why are there so many examples of sojourning in the Bible? Church, it's because as followers of Jesus, we are sojourners ourselves. Sure, we may live in more permanent housing now, but we are not meant for this world. We are citizens, natives of another place. This is the significance of the imagery of the wilderness and the promised land and similar illustrations and examples that we see throughout the Bible. As a Christian, your earthly life is the figurative and sometimes literal wandering through the wilderness. We are here, but we are headed for another place. If you believe that Jesus has saved you and changed you and made you new, you are bound for the ultimate promised land. It's the new heaven and earth that God tells us He will create, and we will spend eternity there with the Lord. If you haven't already, I'd highly recommend picking up and reading the book by John Bunyan, A Pilgrim's Progress. It takes all the biblical imagery, truth, realities, promise, hardship, and hope of the journey of the Christian life and presents it in an incredibly beautiful, helpful, and encouraging allegory. It's my favorite Christian book because it points me over and over to God's faithfulness. It encouraged me towards a life of faith, obeying and trusting God while living in this place that is not my permanent or ultimate home. Along these lines, my favorite band has a song called In Exile, and the lyrics go like this. I am an exile, a sojourner, a citizen of some other place. All I've seen is just a glimmer in a shadowy mirror. But I know one day I'll see face to face. I am a nomad, a wanderer. I have nowhere to lay my head down. There's no point in putting roots too deep when I'm moving on. I'm not settling for this unsettling town. I am a pilgrim, a voyager. I won't rest until my lips touch the shore of the land that I've been longing for as long as I live, where there'll be no pain or tears anymore. My heart is filled with songs of forever, a city that endures where all is made new. No, I don't belong here. I'll never call this place my home. I'm just passing through. Friend, if you believe that God is who he says he is, and you want to draw close to him, you must obey him and trust him and live this life as a sojourner, as an exile on your way home. That's not easy to do, and I understand that. Believe me, I do. All the world wants is for you to get caught up in all of its temporary, fleeting attractions. And lots of things are easy for us to justify as right and important to focus on. Jobs and homes and families and responsibilities, the list goes on. And I'm not saying that those things aren't good and necessary. But what I am saying is that they can take on too much importance in our lives. Physical stuff can also take on too much importance in our lives. All of these things, when not balanced in light of obedience and trust in God, can unhelpfully and unhealthily tie us down to this life that is only temporary. It can blur or remove entirely our eternal perspective. It can make us forget that we don't actually belong here permanently. That's what this example of Abraham's faithful life is reminding us about. We're meant for something else, something greater than the things we get caught up in. Abraham understood that. That's why he responded in these faithful ways like he did to God's call on his life. And we must respond in the same ways. Responding to God in faith means that we obey him and trust him in all things. Abraham's faith and understanding and response are really explained for us in verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. This is that eternal perspective that I'm talking about. Abraham's faith in God is on full display because he believes God is who he says he is and wants to draw closer to him. He lives a faith-filled life that obeys God and trusts him. He lives a faith-filled life that has an eternal perspective to remind him that he's just a sojourner here. He is full of faith for the eternal, lasting, permanent city of heaven, whose designer and builder is God. The foundations of that city are mentioned here in verse 10 to remind us and give us hope that the city, the eternal, permanent home of ours, will last forever. That city will be like any other city. Every man-made city or attempt at permanence won't even begin to compare. Hence the tents that Abraham and his family lived in for generations. They believed God so fully and with so much faith that they were content to live in tents for their entire lives, obeying God, trusting God, and living as sojourners on their way to heaven. This example of faith in Abraham's life is just driving home the point, our big idea. Responding to God in faith means that we obey him and trust him in all things. Now, maybe you're hearing all of this and you're thinking, Drew, I hear you. But this sojourning lifestyle that you're talking about, all this obeying and trusting, it's exhausting. It is. There's no doubt about it. Keeping and maintaining an eternal perspective while the rest of the world, many of your friends and family, are only concerned about the here and now is exhausting. Obeying and trusting God in all things while so many other people are obeying and trusting themselves is exhausting. Sometimes it's hard to believe that living life like this is worth it because it can be so hard. But Abraham's example here is here to serve us and show us that not only is it possible, but it is worth it. And the biggest reason that it's possible is that if you live like this, God will help you. How do I know that? Because in Genesis 12, after we see that Abraham immediately obeyed God and trusted him, even though he didn't know where he was going, the next verse tells us this. Genesis 12:4 says, "So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him." When Abraham went, he didn't go alone. Lot went with him, sure, but more importantly, God went with him. Friends, if you're exhausted by the sojourning lifestyle or considering it and thinking it's too hard, consider and remember that God is with you as you respond to him by faith. You're not alone. And you don't just have to rely on yourself. God is with you. That is God's promise to you if you believe in him and draw close to him in faith. If you're hearing all of this for the first time and are feeling like you want to obey and trust God in all things, but you don't know how, or maybe you're already a follower of Jesus but are feeling like you've been living your life in a pretty self-sufficient way and you want to change that, it's simple. Just ask Jesus for help. That's all you need to do. He will help you. He will be patient with you as you learn. He will encourage you and guide you. Call out to him to save and change your life, and he will do it. It's only with his help and power that we are able to respond to God in faith. So to come full circle this morning, if we consider the ways that we've seen how our faith should be working out in our lives and compare them with what the author of Hebrews has shown us thus far in chapter 11 about faith, we'll see that we're continuing to reinforce and expand our understanding and application of biblical faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. That's why Abraham was able to obey and trust God, even though he didn't know what was next. Faith is what God commended the people of old for. This doesn't change for us now. Faithfulness is still what we must strive for, so that when we come face to face with Jesus in heaven, we'll hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." It is only by faith that we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Drawing close to God and seeking him means that we spend time with him, constantly learning and practicing what it means to obey him and trust him in all things. And today we add that faith enables us and allows us to obey and trust God and gives us an eternal perspective, reminding us that heaven is our true home and that we are simply sojourners on our way to the eternal city and promised land. Church, may God grant us all more faith and help us to live lives that respond in faith by obeying and trusting him in all things, as we sojourn our way through this life towards eternity with him. Let's pray. Father, you hold out many promises for your people. Many of them we've even touched on this morning. You are with us. You are for us. You reward us as we seek you. But most importantly, what we're seeing through Hebrews 11 is that you build the faith of your people as we draw close to you. Father, thank you for being faithful to us, even when we're not, and even as we're learning what it looks like to be faithful. I pray this morning that you would stir all of our faith. Would you build our faith? Would you help us to obey you? Would you help us to trust you? Would you help us to do these things in all of the circumstances of life? God, would you ingrain in our minds an eternal perspective? That as we trust you and obey you, it's not just for here and now, it is for forever. We are heading towards eternity with you. Nothing should bring us more joy than that. Jesus, thank you for making that possible, for saving us and changing us, making us more like you every day as we draw closer and closer to spending forever with you. Would you help us to rest in these realities and truths? Jesus, through all of this, would you help us to love you more? It's in your name, by the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen.